Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today as we go back into our study of the letter R, the second study in the alphabet R, the letter R, and this is study number 18A. It's on resurrection, and what the Bible has to say about resurrection. First of all, let me apologize or just try to help you understand about that first recording. I was going to go back and redo that recording altogether because the enemy got in that thing and just messed up the digital part of it and everything else. I had to cut about 9 minutes out of it, and I don't know if you noticed that, but I was kind of sidetracked in that, even though we did go through and get some facts about resurrection and talked about quite a bit of things. I'm going to go ahead and just leave it like it is, because I told y'all before that these are just recordings that are just as raw, and I leave them like they are, and I don't edit them unless there's something crazy like that. And I edited that last one. I cut out about 9 minutes because the digital part of my recorder went nuts on me and started misbehaving, so I went ahead and fixed that, and that's the reason that first one is like what it is. But we still learned from it, and that's the idea, is that we learn God's Word. It ain't about listening to me and how foolish I can be sometimes. I guess I'm guilty. Okay, so don't hold that against me too bad. I hope you forgive me for that, but I learned from it. And I'm not ashamed of God's Word. And I teach better in person than I do on these recordings. I've mentioned that before. But nevertheless, God, the Holy Ghost, has told me to do this. And this is what we do. And I enjoy it. And I enjoy being around and with y'all studying God's Word. I'm not ashamed of God's Word, not one bit. And I'm not ashamed of the Lord. My Lord Jesus Christ, He's been very kind to me and helped me in my life. He saved me. I'm on my way to heaven. And He's with me every day. He's been with me for 42 years, and has never left me nor forsaken me. I've tried to accuse Him of things. I blame things on Him. All sorts of kind of business. You know how we are. But He's always been there for me and helped me, and He's there. He's right here with me now. I'm not alone. He dwells with me, and I know He does with you too. If you've been born again and you've asked the Lord to save you, you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word of God says, then you are born again, and you'll never lose your salvation. God's taking you to heaven whenever you leave that body. And if the Lord Jesus Christ comes first and raptures us out of here, we're going to be changed, and we won't never have to die. Okay, so getting back into this resurrection part, let me just recap just a little bit to bring us back to where we were. We started out with this resurrection, and we tried to define it, or we did define it, as a matter of fact. And one interesting thing that I did find in looking up definitions for resurrection, just defining the word, and that's one thing about this study is that we're going to go into a whole bunch of different avenues of resurrection. Resurrection is not just going to be talked about the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, even though that is the most important part of this study. But it's going to be talked about. There's a whole bunch of different avenues that the Scriptures go into when it talks about resurrection. And when I was defining it and looking for definitions for it, the two main things in society was that they define it as the rising again of Jesus Christ from the tomb 3 days later after His death, which is what it should be. That's what it should be. The definition of resurrection ought to be in the minds and the hearts of society and civilization that way. And that's exactly how you find it in the dictionary. That's some of these perverted dictionaries and these up-to-date ones, so-called. Now, they'll come up with something, worldly or humanistic and stuff like that, and try to put the Lord out of it. And, you know, that's the devil's business, and that's what they do. But the second one that I found in there was a rising again from the dead of all humankind at the last judgment. Now, that's what's in the minds of civilization and mankind and humankind when it comes to listening to the word resurrection and defining it within themselves. And if you walked up to 100 people and asked them, what does resurrection mean? These are one of the two definitions you'd probably get. And then, of course, we had some other definitions, like causing to become alive. And then we had one that pretty well is up to date about what resurrection really is. A resurrection is the act by God of raising a person from the dead. It is more than the appearance of a person from the dead. Remember we talked about Samuel and his appearance to Saul. That was not a resurrection. It was an appearance. It's more than that. More than just seeing somebody that has died, and that was an appearance. That was not a resurrection. He didn't come back in his body, and his body come back from corruption and live again. There when Saul went to the witch of Endor, you remember in 1 Samuel we talked about. And then we also talked about Moses and Elijah at the Mount of Transfiguration that appeared with the Lord Jesus Christ when he was transfigured before Peter and James and John. Resurrection is the abolition of death, the rescue of the body from corruption. Now, let me just tell you something. We're going to go through this study, and we're going to talk about some up-to-date stuff about what people are claiming that has happened to them concerning dying and coming back and things like that. That's a part of this study, and I've got it on the website there if you want to go look at it, and it's under that category of really, really. And you just hit that, click that button, you'll see a area in there talking about a bunch of videos where people are talking about that they died on the operating table, or they died here, or they died there, and they left their body and went to see Jesus and talked to him and went to hell and went to heaven and all sorts of business. And then after their field trip, they came back and they were reinserted in their body, and their body came back alive, and they woke up, and you're here to tell us about it and bring us a message. Now, is all that business true? Is that Bible? Is that what the Bible says can happen or does happen? Do people leave their body at death and leave their body and go see Jesus and talk with him and come back with a message nowadays? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, we'll get into that. That's part of the study. So just stay with us, and you'll go over that sooner or later. But we talked about the word resurrection. Remember, this is the last part of this recap here. But we did talk about the word resurrection in society and how it's used. And it's funny to me how they can gather that information over that period of time. We start out in about the 1800s and stuff like that, having to do with this word resurrection, and they measure it in society and how much it's been being used and how much it's been used per year over a period of time. And this time that I got on this graph is about 100 years, from 1800 to, well, a little over 1800 to 2000. 2019 is when it ends, actually, you know, pretty recent. But it shows that during about 1850 is when society was using and speaking the word resurrection quite a bit. Quite a bit. And then it took a dive around 1850 and went all the way down to about 1940s or something like that, and bottomed out. Right about the 1900s or something like that, it started bottoming out all the way over to about 1950, and then it started coming back up just a little bit. And then around, about 1980, 1990, the word started reappearing. Now, I don't know how these people get this information from the graph, but it is interesting because of the society that we live in, the things that can be compared and run parallel to this graph having to do with the word resurrection. It disappeared in society for a little while, during 1900 all the way up to about 1950, and then it started coming out a little bit more, and people started speaking, and then right around 1980, right in 1990, people started talking about resurrection again. And, you know, interesting what we talked about before was that that's when all these new translations of all these 200 and 230 and 240 translations of the Word of God come out, and were being changed, and God's Word being corrupted and rewritten, and all this stuff around 1900. And that's when resurrection disappeared in society talking about it. And then right around 1980, right 1990, stuff like that, it's starting to come back. But we're right here in this Laodicean era, and right before the Lord Jesus Christ coming to catch away the church, and that's us, and get us out of here, resurrection's starting to be talked about more. That's interesting to me. I don't know what the facts are about it or what it exactly it means, but it's part of the study, resurrection. And I thought that would be something that was interesting to you. You might can take that information off the study itself and go follow it up a little more and get on the site there and teach us some more about it and get on them comments and tell us what you found out. It's interesting though. Today we're going back into our first part of the study, the first section of our study, which is that there are seven main resurrections mentioned in Scripture. Seven main resurrections. And you're going to see the differences when we talked about defining resurrection, not just somebody coming back from the dead and their body coming back from corruption. That's what resurrection really, really is. But resurrection, the word resurrection in Scripture is used for different scenarios. And you'll see that in this part of the study right here. There's seven main resurrections mentioned in Scripture. Now, as we mentioned before, when people think of resurrection, the majority think of only one resurrection at the last day when everyone's going to be brought up for judgment. And that is a true fact because people are going to be brought up for judgment on the last day, but not everyone. And you'll see that as we go through the study. That's not what the Bible teaches, that everyone is going to be at that judgment. Everyone's not going to be at that judgment as far as appearing before that judgment. The last day resurrection is indeed a valid one in Scripture, but by no means is it the only resurrection, and it's not for everyone, as some think. The Lord's commanded us to rightly divide the Word of God, to look at it, to study it, to study it over here, to put these things together, to mold these things together, to compare Scripture with Scripture and get all of the truth out of it, not just one over here and one over here. You know, God uses that word to bless us and uses that word to teach us and to help us to grow and to conform us into the image of Christ. But you know something else the Lord uses that word for? If you try to mess with that book, and you change them words and you mess with that book and you get in there and you start trying to manipulate God's word, He'll drive you nuts with that Bible. He sure will. He'll drive you nuts with it. You'll get in there and get so confused you won't know nothing. You'll come out with some of the most stupidest stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with truth and nothing to do with Scripture and absolutely non-scriptural, non-doctrinal. And you come out with all kind of gobbledygook, writing it down and trying to teach it and stuff like that because your heart is not there. The Lord said that we're supposed to study His Word in sincerity and in truth. You look for it, and you love the Lord, and you love His Word, and you want to know, and you want to, Lord, I want to know what You're teaching me. I want to be the person that You're turning me into. And mean it sincerely, God will teach you that Bible. And the Holy Ghost will teach you. He's our teacher, and He'll teach you. And you'll learn these things, and He'll compare Scripture with Scripture. He'll say, look at this right here. Now flip the pages here. Now come over here and look at this. Look at this. Now come over here and look at this. And look, there it is. The Lord said, like, searching it as hidden treasure. As hidden treasure. Yeah. Yeah. But you get in there doing the wrong thing and acting a fool with God's Word, and that book lives. It's alive. It liveth and abideth forever, the Bible says. And we shouldn't mess with God's Word. Well, be honest with the Lord. Be honest with His Word, which we are and we're studying right now. Now, there's seven resurrections, all right, mentioned in Scripture. Seven resurrections mentioned in Scripture. The first one, The first one we find in Matthew chapter 27, and I'm going to give you these scriptures. You don't have to write them down if you don't want to right now, but Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through 53. Let me read it to you. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept, and you'll find that word written about people that are born again, righteous people that have died. The Bible doesn't really, it uses it every now and then, but it's rare that uses the word death and died with godly people and saints. It uses that they sleep. They slept, but and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. There's the first resurrection found in the scriptures, the resurrection of some of the Old Testament saints' bodies after Jesus' resurrection. Now, that'd be something right there. Now, you think about that. Jesus, and as big as the scenario was about Jesus during that 3.5 years of his ministry, and some people hating his guts and trying to kill him and assassinate him and everything else, and him coming all the way up to his crucifixion, and as big as that was in front of the world in the Roman Empire, and getting crucified, and then 3.5 days later, he resurrected and appeared to many. But then, not only that, not to minimize it, of course, but that Old Testament saints that had been in the ground for a long time, it said the graves were opened and their bodies came back to life. That's resurrection. The resurrection of some of the Old Testament saints' bodies after Jesus' resurrection. It says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, came out of the graves and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Can you imagine that? You say, well, what about this and what about that? I don't know. All I know is what the scripture says. And that's a main resurrection that the scripture talks about that has happened in scripture. Okay? So that's the first resurrection. That's a main resurrection. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints' bodies after Jesus' resurrection. Now, there was a lot that went on during Jesus' 3 days in the tomb and 3 nights in the tomb before he resurrected. And one of them was going down to paradise and getting the Old Testament saints and taking them on to glory, taking them on to heaven, and taking paradise up to heaven proper, literally. And taking it out of there, paradise was not allowed in heaven, and the old saints were not allowed in heaven because they were just forgiven, and they were in paradise, which was across a gulf from hell in the earth. Okay, but when Jesus died, sins could be taken away now. Not just forgiven, but put away, taken away completely. And they could go to heaven now, where God was. And they did. Jesus took them there. Jesus took them there. But these were some of the Old Testament saints. It didn't say all of them. It said some of them come up in their bodies and come back to their bodies, and their bodies come out of them graves and went into town and said, hey, how you doing? That's the first resurrection in the Bible there. Do you know about that one? Yeah, that's the first resurrection. There are 7 main resurrections in the scripture. The second one is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself from the dead. That's the second one. It's found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 3 through 6. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. There's your second resurrection. The scripture talks in many other places concerning Jesus' second resurrection, the Gospels especially, but the Apostle Paul spoke quite a bit of it in the book of Acts. The book of Acts goes progressively through the Lord's resurrection and his ascension and his time in the grave. But that's the second resurrection, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the second main resurrection in the scriptures. The third one, the resurrection of the spirit in all men that have trusted Christ Jesus, being born again. This is referred to as a resurrection. A resurrection. Remember, I told you that it's not when the resurrection is spoken of in the scriptures, it describes many different things. This is one of them. This is not a dead body coming back to life, because your body is not saved yet. If you're born again, your spirit has been resurrected. It has come back from the dead. It has been quickened, the scripture says, which means made alive. You've been quickened by the Spirit. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you and came in you when you got born again, and he quickened your spirit and cut your soul apart from your body and separated them to where your sinful body doesn't affect you anymore, or can't keep your soul held down and doesn't affect it anymore as far as the penalty of it. And your body is still wicked and is still sinful. And it's going back to the dust, just like the Lord said, unless Jesus comes and gets us and changes it before we die. But if he does, he's still going to change it, and we're going to come out of the graves too. The scripture says we are. Okay, but the resurrection of the spirit in all men that have trusted Christ Jesus. This is referred to as a main resurrection in the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read that to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not physically there, but we are there by spirit because we're in Jesus Christ. Okay? All right, that's the third resurrection in Scripture, is the resurrection of all people that are born again, the resurrection, the coming back from the dead, the quickening, the making alive of their spirit whenever they're born again. Amen? All right, that's not all. That's not all. The fourth resurrection, main resurrection mentioned in Scripture, is the resurrection of all New Testament saints' bodies at the rapture. Now, that's the one I was talking about just a minute ago. The resurrection of all saints, New Testament saints' bodies during the rapture. Okay, now the Scripture talks about that, and it talks about people coming out of the graves again. All people are not, the New Testament saints that have died since Jesus' resurrection are still in the ground. Their bodies are in the ground. They are in heaven with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's the body that goes into the dust and rots and is buried with a shovel until the Lord resurrects that thing and gives it back to you. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18 is where it's found. It's also found in Corinthians, but we'll read Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, listen to this good news. But I would not have you to be ignorant. That's our brother Paul. That's one of his favorite ways of saying things. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Notice that asleep again. The ones that are in the grave, their bodies are in the grave. Now, they're up there with the Lord, but their bodies are asleep in the grave. Okay? Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There you go. There you go. There's another resurrection right there. Brothers and sisters, you have a promise right there in Thessalonians as a saved person that if you die, and I don't know what kind of condition your body's in or what kind of condition, but every one of us, if the Lord doesn't come back, is going to eventually have to face death. And that's not bad news for us. That's good news for us, because as soon as our body dies and we leave this body, we go immediately to be with the Lord. We go to be with him. You don't go in the grave. Your body goes in the grave. Okay, and you say, well, I thought I was supposed to come up out of the grave. No. Listen, what it is when Jesus comes back, you're with him. Listen what the scripture says. Lord, it says, let me find it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice. Oh, wait a minute. Let me back up a little bit. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, they're already, their bodies are in the grave, and they're with the Lord now. Listen what it says. Jesus died and rose again. Even so them who? Them that are already dead, their bodies are in the grave and they are with the Lord. Even so them also which sleep, their bodies are asleep still here on earth in the grave, sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Bring with him. In other words, they're already with the Lord. Their bodies are down here on the earth in the grave, and they're sleeping. And it says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They're going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ. And their bodies are going to be resurrected and joined with them and given back to them. And we're going to be changed, the Bible says. In the twinkling of an eye, the scripture says. That's good stuff, ain't it? That's good stuff. Praise the Lord. He's planned it all out for us. He's got it all perfectly set. And you can get over there in Corinthians and read that also. It talks about the same thing. Brother Paul talks about that also. But we're talking about these resurrections. First one is the resurrection of some of the Old Testament saints' bodies after Jesus' resurrection. The second one is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead himself. The main resurrection of all scripture. The third one is the resurrection of the spirit of all men that have trusted Christ, come back from the dead, made alive, quickened. The fourth one is the resurrection of all New Testament saints' bodies during the rapture. We just read that. That's a promise to us. You ought to cling to it. And the Bible says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You ought to comfort yourself and comfort others with it. Don't worry about it. Death is not but just something that we go through because of sin, and that's only if the Lord chooses to wait. If he doesn't choose to wait, and if he was to come as soon as this message ends right here, and our class ends, if he was to come, you're not going to die. You're going to be changed and given a brand new body, a brand new mind, a brand new everything, like unto the Lord's glorious body. and you're going to have the mind of Christ, and that's it. Changed. Okay, and all the people that are in the graves right now, before, while this class is going on, they're going to come back with the Lord, and their bodies are going to come out of that ground and be joined together with them, and we're all going to meet up in the air and meet Jesus and get out of here. Amen. The fifth one, the fifth main resurrection of Scripture, the resurrection of all the tribulation saints' bodies just before Christ's second coming. There's another resurrection that's going to happen of all the people that have believed on Christ. Now, salvation's going to change during the tribulation time, and people are going to have to die for their testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God. And but they're still going to be saved, and the Lord's going to resurrect them just before He comes back and punishes this world at the Battle of Armageddon, when he at his second advent. When he comes back this next time, not the rapture, but after the rapture, 7 years later, when the Lord comes back to make war, the Bible says. He's not coming back to talk to anybody. He's not coming back to negotiate nothing. He's coming back, and he's taking over. He's taken over, and we're going to be with him then also. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30 and 31, listen to this, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." That's what they're coming down here for. He's going to send his angels. The Lord's going to be coming. He's going to send his angels down. They're going to gather up all of the tribulation saints and their bodies, and going to bring them. Remember, under the altar, you can read that there were souls under the altar that were complaining and saying, "When are you going to avenge us, Lord?" That's the tribulation saints. "Now, when are you going to avenge us?" And the Lord said that you just hold on, and He give them all white garments to wear. See, a soul can wear a garment, you see, and but they didn't have their bodies. Their bodies were down there on earth. They'd been had the heads cut off by the Antichrist. And that's in the future that we're talking about, that the Bible's teaching us that is the past. Isn't that interesting? God's Word is so beautiful. But there's talking to the Lord and saying, "When are you going to avenge us?" He said, "Well, just wait just a little bit longer." He said, "There's other people that need it, that other your brothers and sisters, your brethren are going to die first, and then we're going to take care of business." And this is when it happens right here. This is just before the Lord comes back to avenge everybody and to come back and make war. He sends his angels, and they go down, and they gather these bodies up, and they bring them and give them back to them saints, and give them back to the dead, or give them back to the tribulation saints that have been martyred and been dead for the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God. And listen to it again, Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 and 31, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels," now this is before they see him, "he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." That's the resurrection of the tribulation saints' bodies just before Christ's second advent. Now, you say, "Well, how can the Lord do that? He can do anything He wants to, because He said that he's going to rapture us out of here in the twinkling of an eye." Not the blinking of an eye, the twinkling of an eye. God can do things, and God lives in eternity. He don't live in time. The only thing we understand is time, a second, a minute, an hour, a day, a month, a year, and we can figure time like that. But a twinkling? I mean, God lives in eternity. A twinkling, the Bible says that 1,000 years are measured like a day to the Lord. You see? You can't put God in a box and say, well, this is what he means, because God thinks different and he is different than we are when it comes to that kind of stuff. And there's some things that can be communicated to us about him, and some things that cannot be communicated about God to us. You can find that out in the theological studies over there about the personality and the character of God. If you want to read that and want to study that, it's over there on our study, on our site, Barn House Ministries. I'm not throwing flags up and all this stuff. I'm not ashamed one bit of that site. I think it's a beautiful thing God's done there. And I think everybody ought to get on there and just study. But I'm just giving it to you in case that popped up in your mind, that the answers are there and you can study that if you want to. Resurrection of all the tribulation saints' bodies just before Christ's second advent. That's the fifth one. All right, now, moving along. The sixth resurrection, main resurrection of the Scriptures. What are we talking about? We're talking about resurrection. Resurrection. There are seven resurrections mentioned in Scripture. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the resurrection of the spirit of all men who've trusted Jesus, the resurrection of all the New Testament saints at the rapture, the resurrection of the tribulation saints just before Christ's second coming, and then number six is the resurrection of the house of Israel back to God. You see, everybody thinks that Israel is really serving God and really the children of God and everything else right now. No. Israel's not worshiping. They're not serving God right now. And they're the Lord called them Sodom and Gomorrah, Jerusalem, during the tribulation period. They don't come back to the Lord until the end of the tribulation period, when they actually see the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and the Israel as a corporate being, Israel corporately as a nation, turns to the Lord and receives Jesus Christ as their Savior and receives him as their Messiah. That's when they're going to turn back to him. Right now they're blinded still. When they rejected Christ, when Christ came and offered them the kingdom, when he came and just before he was crucified during that 3.5 years, and they rejected him as many times as they did, he blinded them. And he offered the Gentiles and sent the Apostle Paul and gave us a new covenant, the gospel of the grace of God, believing on Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But Israel's blind. They don't even believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No. They're in the Old Testament thing, just like they used to be. And they don't turn back to the God. Israel, corporately, as a nation, is going to be resurrected back to the Lord as their Messiah. They're going to see Jesus, and they're going to accept him as their Messiah and be resurrected back to God. Listen to what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10 through 14. It says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, which he's already done and doing. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. He hadn't done that yet. It's not done. It's not done. They're not there. They'll see Jesus coming and they'll accept him as their Messiah. Right now, they have not accepted Jesus, and they're not going to, not until they go through this business in the tribulation period with the Antichrist and all that stuff that goes on. But they will be resurrected. That's a main resurrection, and that is of the house of Israel, the nation of Israel, turning back to the Lord. Right now, if a Jew, no matter whether he's a Orthodox Jew, no matter what kind of Jew he is, a person that is an Israelite over in Israel, it ain't no different than a Gentile. We are in the gospel of the grace of God, and if he dies without accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior, he goes to hell, like everybody else. If he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, it has nothing to do with him being an Israelite or being a Gentile or being a white guy or a black guy or a woman or a man or whatever. If he accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, he is born into the body of Christ like we are and becomes our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free. We're all one in Christ. And he'll be born again, and he'll go to heaven, and he'll leave here with the rapture with all the rest of us. See? Okay, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Wonderful thing. So right now, the Jew is the same thing as we are, except as a nation, they're blinded. They don't get to know God. God is their enemy right now. And but God's promised them that they're going to have an opportunity as a nation to come back to him and resurrect. He's going to resurrect them as a nation, as his people, and they're going to accept him at the end of the tribulation period when he comes back to make war and to wipe them stinking nations out that are the UN nations that are going to go up against and try to wipe Israel out again. Going to try to take them off the map again, and the Lord's going to show up and defend them, and they're going to look and see the Messiah and accept him, and that's when Israel's going to be resurrected. Last but not least is the one that we've been talking about that society defines, and is the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead, not from the dead, of the dead. Resurrection of the dead to the great white throne judgment. That's the last resurrection, the main resurrection in the scriptures. Let me read it to you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 through 15, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." That's your seventh main resurrection of the scriptures, the resurrection of the dead. Notice what we said before was that everybody's not going to be resurrected at that time. I remember before, now we went through six different resurrections in the scripture before we got to this one. One of them was the rapture, the resurrection of the bodies out of the grave when Jesus comes to get the body of Christ. That's us. You're not even down here. You're with the Lord. And when this thing about the resurrection of the dead comes up, you're up there with the Lord. You're already perfected. You're like Jesus Christ. You have nothing to do with this judgment, with exception that we might be standing around watching it and looking at it and judging. It says we shall judge angels and such things like that. But as far as this goes, completely different resurrection, see? And we get into more of that as we go on down through the study there. But seven resurrections. Isn't that interesting? And read your scripture with all of them. Let me go over them again. The resurrection of some of the Old Testament saints' bodies after Jesus' resurrection. that indeed happened. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that indeed took place. The resurrection of the Spirit in all men that have trusted Jesus Christ, being born again, that has happened. It happened to me, happened to you, and it's happening every day. People getting born again, and will happen until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us out of here. And this age ends. The gospel of the grace of God ends, and it goes back to works. The resurrection of all New Testament saints' bodies at the rapture. That's when we get out of here. The resurrection of the house of Israel, back to God, just like I was talking about. And the resurrection of the dead to the great white throne judgment, where they will be judged. They're already condemned. They're already under the wrath of God. They're just going up there to be sentenced of how great a damnation they're going to receive. It says they'll be bound hand and feet, and cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a resurrection you want to be part of. If you're not born again, the best news I can give you is bow your head and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. And don't wait another minute, because there is a time that it is too late. And that is if you have a heart attack or a stroke after this lesson, and I hope you don't, but if something were to happen and you left that body and that body goes to corrupting and you are indeed dead, you will leave and go directly into hell if you're not born again. If you are born again, you'll go to be with the Lord immediately. Amen? All right, well, let me give you these scriptures and we'll stop for today. Seven resurrections mentioned in Scripture. Interesting start, isn't it, to this matter of resurrection? Here's the scriptures. Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And then we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 through 31. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10 through 14, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And those are the scriptures for our study today on the study of resurrection concerning the seven resurrections mentioned in Scripture. Seven resurrections mentioned in Scripture. All right, well, we'll stop right there. I'm so thankful that you joined us today and that you're being part of this and disciplining yourself to love the Lord and honor Him and honor His Word, and don't think that that doesn't go unnoticed. The Lord will bless you for that. He honors those that honor Him and honor His Word. The next thing that we're going to get into is the doctrine of resurrection. The doctrine of resurrection. Now, what does that mean? That means we're going to study what the doctrine, what the scriptural doctrine of resurrection is, why we should believe in the resurrection, and that there is resurrection in the scriptures. We'll talk about that, and we'll enjoy it, and we'll learn it, and we'll appreciate it, and thank the Lord for it, and live by it, and it'll be wonderful to us. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman. I hope you've been blessed with this this class. Better than the first one, wasn't it? I'll try to do better. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs. Talk to you again. Bye-bye.